Brain Dead Radio presents.
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is the Ed Hawken Show, episode 22. The double deuce, as it were. This is Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
Yes, we're back once again. And as always, things have changed. Time has gone on. You know how it is. And not only that, did you believe it's nearly been a year since we've started the show?
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
And we've not become millionaires.
And we also, the quality has not increased at all.
No. It's in fact gotten worse. It's gotten progressively worse as time has worn on. In fact, speaking of that, did you hear about Kevin Smith retiring from directing?
I did, yeah. I heard he already did Red State, and then he's going to do one more film, and then he is going to be retiring from directing.
I say good riddance, that's what I say.
Well, I know, yeah, he's definitely a controversial figure in cinema and independent cinema, and mm-hmm. especially nowadays with the stunt that he pulled with the release of Red State.
Right.
And that he was optioning it and then decided that he was going to auction it off for distribution and then revealed that he would be distributing it himself. And so people are calling that kind of a dick move, and his criticism of marketing, modern marketing and whatever that's going on, and
right.
He's really becoming a hated figure.
Well, he already kind of has been. I think part of that just has to do with the fact he hasn't really gone anywhere as a director, and he's, you know, the attitude he has. And I mean, I enjoy his podcast, although I find him to be a bit repetitive, just because you can only hear so much about him ass-fucking his wife saying whether or not he's going to try and suck some dude off if he had to. You know,
yeah, that comes up a lot.
On that. What I'm saying is Scott Mosier should get his own show. So
Scott Mosier's an awesome guy. I think, I have nothing against Kevin Smith, really, and
right.
I own all of his, not all of his movies, I own all of his early movies.
You own Jersey Girl, don't you?
Up to, of course. I have three different copies. I have the Criterion, the Laserdisc, I own all of his early movies. I love them. And, you know, back in the day, it was a huge deal when he came into the scene, because for the nerds in the 90s, you know, nowadays it's becoming a little bit more socially acceptable to be geeky,
mm-hmm.
and especially with the comic book stuff, because
right.
it's becoming really like it's in the mainstream, it's rooted in popular culture now, and being seen as a comic book fan is doesn't nearly have the same stigma it did in the 90s, and or even the early 2000s or whatever
right.
you want to say. And you know, growing up being a young comic book fan and huge geek all around, his movies were really the only way to see references or get references to cool, I don't want to say alternative culture stuff, but you know
right.
what I mean, subculture stuff like comic books and just Star Wars nerdy stuff.
Right.
You didn't get a lot of that. You didn't get the celebration of nerd culture the way you did with the Kevin Smith movie, and regardless of the overall quality,
mm-hmm.
it was just awesome to really see that kind of thing. So I enjoy his stuff for that.
I would have to agree on that. I mean, you're absolutely right, because especially during the 90s, when all your comic book movies were like of weird, obscure comic book characters, only because that was the studios wanted to be cheap, and that was what they can get the rights, because at the time, a lot of the major characters, the Marvel characters, were tied up in legal limbo for many years. I mean,
yeah.
that's a story on of itself. I mean, we were this close to getting a Golan Globus Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And thankfully, that did not happen.
Yeah.
It would have been right up there with the Italian Batman porno. Now, speaking of that, not porno for once, speaking of comics, Wizard and Toy Fair actually folded last
week. They did recently. Goodbye, Wizard magazine. Frank Miller must have masturbated to that news.
Oh, did Wizard never... I don't remember Wizard ever having editorial content saying Frank Miller sucked.
No. Frank Miller had... You can see videos of this on YouTube. He would speak out against Wizard magazine for cheapening the comic book industry and making the artists seem classless and you know, really superficial.
Right.
And Wizard really was kind of overall a celebration of the superficial aspect of comics, with the kind of, you know, focus on the Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld image generation.
We need more pouches.
kind of work. But on the other hand, they gave a lot of attention to guys like Mike Allred and Eric Larson, all these guys doing these really awesome work on the other side of that. And I don't think anybody who was going back to being a comic book fan and stuff, I don't think anybody who liked comics could have really hated Wizard 100%. I mean, you may have not bought it all the time or loved it, but back in the day, in the 90s when it came out, you couldn't have hated it completely, because it really was a great source.
It was the resource probably for comic news, other than what, the Comic Shop News, which is actually like a newspaper, a little newspaper insert.
Yeah.
I mean, I would read Wizard. I would just laugh my ass off at their stupid captions most of the time.
Yeah, as a kid, that was awesome. Yeah.
Especially the Wizard Rabbit, the Easter Bunny.
Yeah,
just getting the weird shit. And then, obviously, Toy Fair with Twisted Toy Fair Theater, what was before Robot Chicken.
The prototypical Robot Chicken was Twisted Toy Fair Theater, and the smug Mego Spider-Man was definitely a highlight of that.
Yes, and always drunk Iron Man and Hulk just crapping it everywhere, and Ponch and John showing up.
It's funny, because nowadays those probably don't hold up as well as when they came out in the late 90s. They might not hold up as well now as, say, like Robot Chicken does, even though that's only been around for a couple of years. But those back in the day were huge. That was a big breakthrough in the culture being able to mock itself. The toy and comic industry being able to make fun of itself, which was pretty cool.
Now, did you ever? I used to also read Wizard for the Price Guys, but I heard those were unreliable as shit.
Well, those were horseshit. And anybody who invests in comics, I mean, unless you go Silver Age and prior, maybe Bronze Age.
Right.
If you go before that, I mean, after that, if you try to invest on these 80s, 90s stuff,
forget it. You're
wasting your money. You're really wasting money. I used to work in a comic store, and we get a lot of speculators who'd come in and try to get, they're like, and they thought we were psychics because we worked there. They'd be like, what's cheap now that's going to be really expensive in
it's
the
like,
future?
Buddy, if I knew that, would I be working here?
Yeah, Jerry would.
What the hell do you think I'd
My boss here? Would always say that, because he'd been doing it for like 15 years at that point, and was like, yeah, if I knew that, I'd be fucking rich at this point. And, this retarded. So he'd just sell them the cheapest, crappiest books on the
show. I remember about 10 years ago when I'd go to that comic store, I remember you'd have those boxes and boxes of what you call the dollar bins under the tables of the main back issues. And I would just dig through that like no one's business. And my collection, which resides under the stairs of my mother's place, because I once asked, you know, do you want me to move that? I said, no. All right. So
she sold them all.
There's nothing to sell.
Yeah.
How the hell does she have the means to sell?
She got $20 for all four boxes.
It was all donated to be used as toilet paper at the local homeless mission.
Yeah.
But I remember they'd be all smudgy, and I would dig through all this stuff. And I remember the old, it was a series of Batman comics that dealt with a mad bomber who was trying to alter Gotham City to look like the Gotham City from the original, from Tim Burton's Batman.
Well, it was because, in the books they wanted to show Anton First's production design from the first movie, which was really amazing looking stuff. They wanted to bring that into the comic as if it had always been there, so they blew up all the modern buildings and just left those, and it was a really dumb way to do that.
I think that's kind of one of the things I kind of moved on from comics, is just that one is storage, but then the other thing is, like, it's kind of like The Simpsons, is that nothing's ever permanent. So, say they kill off some character, well, whoopty fucking do, that character's gonna come back. It's inevitable.
Well, you
so
know,
it's
you
like,
can
why
you
do
can,
we why even bother?
You can take that approach, but a lot of times you go in, you get to cherry pick your favorite stories, and back in the 90s, the coolest, that title you're talking about, was that? Oh no, that was the okay.
You're talking about the original
one of
Batman?
The other titles. Yeah, not that actually. I fucked up. That's not the title happening. But one of the coolest, and I say this because if there are any comic geek
Scarlet
listeners,
Spider.
If there are any comic geek listeners who haven't heard of this title, if you go back and read Legends of the Dark Knight, that was an awesome anthology series of Batman stories that were accessible to non-geeks and geeks alike, because they were just standalone stories.
Oh, yes. And in fact, because those are all independent stories. And I remember you gave me this as a gift. It dealt with this one storyline. I don't have it. I have the issues. I just don't remember the title off the top of my head. It dealt with it being in the recesses of Batman's mind, being trapped in there because he was in a coma.
He went to a coma. He was, he was hanging on. He was between life and death and got stuck in a realm of unconsciousness where he had to fight demons presiding in this weird world and stuff, right. And it was pretty fucking awesome. It was done by Scott Hampton, who's a really awesome artist.
Nice.
Written and drawn by him.
Oh, yes. And, yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, that to me, like, you have those anthologies. Those are great. I mean, do I enjoy what I had when I bought my comics? I mean, No Man's Land, I enjoyed that.
I'm gonna say something right now.
Okay.
I really hate No Man's Land and Cataclysm, man. I really hated that shit.
I mean, I know. I mean, it's bullshit when you think about it, but I thought at the time it was the coolest fucking thing, the idea that Gotham City was destroyed. I mean, it was that and the fact Bob Kane's death. I
remember you enjoyed the Bob Kane died?
I danced on his grave and all that, but no, I remember reading.
I'll bet Bill Finger danced on his grave, by the way. Go ahead, Sam.
I remember reading in Entertainment Weekly announcing Bob Kane's death. This was February of 1999. And they mentioned, Gotham City just got hit by an earthquake. I'm like, what? So I went over to the comic store, one of a few, and I asked, what's this about Gotham City getting hit by an earthquake?
What's all this business?
Yes. And they showed me, and that's how I came across No Man's Land, Road, the prior precursor to that, Road to No Man's Land, the precursor to that, Aftershock.
Which comic store was this?
This was, I think, the first one I looked at. Was at a comic store in the area what used to be known as the Fallbrook Mall out in West Hills. It was called Collector's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, shit, that place definitely is not there anymore, yeah.
No, because that mall no longer exists. And it's funny, is that place used to be in like a tiny hole in the wall, and then they expanded it in what used to be the old laser tag arena. The store was huge, and then they failed. Yeah. And then I remember going to the store you used to work at and picking up stuff there, and then I would pick up stuff at... say Toy Mandala down the road here, other comics, and you know I'd have them, and so you had Cataclysm, Aftershock, Road to No Man's Land. For those of you out there that are wondering what the fuck that is, No Man's Land was a year-long storyline that dealt with Gotham City after being hit by two plagues and an earthquake. Somehow, the government says fuck this and decides to say we're not rebuilding. We're cutting off Gotham City, a la New York, Manhattan in Escape from New York. We're going to mine the rivers, blow up the tunnels, and for anyone who stays there, fuck them. So, this was under the influence of some bad guy that Azrael had to take care of, and it's complete nonsense.
Azrael.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get to that in just a second. So, they dealt with this, so it was like this whole thing of like, back to basics, you know, Batman was wearing a belt with a lot of pouches on it, and it ends up being, spoiler alert for No Man's Land, what can I say? Lex Luthor comes in and rebuilds the city. And then there's this like whole thing like a year later that deals with like the people who had stayed versus the people that just came back. And Jim Gordon's wife dies because the Joker kills her. And Gordon ends up shooting the Joker in the knee. Of course, this means nothing. And then things just continue from there. So you also had the...
Yeah, it was a terrible, terrible story.
As always.
It was really stupid.
Yes, and that was the big storyline I bought, and I nearly have every issue of that storyline. But speaking of comics, I also want to admit we've had some really big comic news, and you know this is something a lot of people want to get your opinion on.
AKA no one.
Nice of you to belittle the audience like that, but I'm just...
No, saying. I thought you were being facetious.
I was being genuine for once. You know, what you want to tackle, the Superman news or the Batman news first?
I don't know. What, you're talking about the casting of Superman and the
casting
director?
Of Superman and
the fact that Zack Snyder is doing the new Superman movie?
Zack Snyder is doing
and that a dirty Brit is playing Superman?
Yeah, how do you feel about the fact that Brits are doing or are playing Spider-Man, Batman, and Superman?
I don't give a shit. It's just all play pretend. It's whoever plays it, as long as they fucking look like him, and he doesn't sound like, he doesn't have a shitty like I just recently saw Johnny Lee Miller doing an American accent in Dexter, and he slipped up so much, and he did that like British guy who's trying to sound American, who has an accent unlike anything I've ever heard from America, and I'm thinking like, where are you from? What is that twang that's going on there? I can't quite place that. And then he just slips up and becomes totally English when he yells or something.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's not doing that, I would appreciate, a Christian Bale-like accent of just, you know...
No accent.
Decent American performance, right. As far as the accent's concerned.
Now, what do you think, as we'll get to Superman first, what do you think of this guy, Henry Cavill?
I haven't seen a lot of him. I think based after a little bit of because I'm a huge Superman geek.
Right.
So as soon as I heard that, I was like, who the fuck is that? And
mm-hmm.
I looked him up on YouTube, and I think it seems like a pretty obvious good choice. I mean, he's got a lot of the qualities you would expect from the character. I think if it was in the hands of a director who was a little more capable as far as characterization
mm-hmm.
and plot and character development were concerned,
right.
that he would give an extremely sincere and really, really well done performance. Knowing that it's going to be mostly action because it's Snyder and he's not a performance guy.
Yeah.
I think he'll still be able to handle it fairly well for an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like Patrick Wilson and those guys did in Watchmen, mm-hmm. where, you know, the absurdity of that was ramped up with the kind of cool 300-ish kind of action stuff, and it
right.
was a pretty absurd version of the source material, meaning that it was over dramatized and stuff. But they, you know, did fairly, you know, I single out Wilson because I thought he gave a pretty sincere performance. Same with the guy who Billy Crudup. I think he'll do something probably along those lines.
I know you're having reservation about Zack Snyder. I think when I had heard they were figuring out who to direct, out of the people they were listing, I thought Snyder was the best choice because he has done stuff of massive scale. You need a guy who could do massive scale stuff because they were considering Tony Scott at one point. There's no that would have been not good.
That would probably not have been so great.
I definitely think, I mean, the fact that you got Nolan producing it, and
he's not really producing it.
I know, but still, he's got some.
He just was like, use Zack Snyder. Anybody?
Yeah. So to me, I think you probably got the best of the bunch. You know, out of the bunch they were considering to do it. Either that, they would have gotten some hired gun, and probably would have looked a bit cheaper.
Well, it could have been like Jonah Hex, where they just got some random director who did Horton Hears a Who. He's like
yeah.
a CG director, and they got him to come in and make the worst fucking adaptation of all time.
Right.
Well, not all time, but very.
Yeah, no, they could have gotten the guy who directed Cloverfield to.
I actually really would have liked to have seen Matt Reeves do it because he's great with special effects and he's pretty good with characters too. Like, he just did Let Me In.
I've been meaning to check that out.
And Let Me In is a fair adaptation of the source material. It can't be as good. It just can't
right.
be. But the way he imitates it and puts his own slight spin on it is pretty interesting. And a lot of people don't realize he has a lot of directorial experience from working on TV for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done character dramas, but he also does really big action. And anyone who saw Cloverfield, even if they didn't like the movie, have to admit that the CG and the integration of CG into such raw footage was goddamn impressive, because mm. half of that movie doesn't exist. I mean, it's all CG. They didn't
right.
shoot in New York. This may surprise you. There was no giant monster. That was all CG.
Son of a bitch.
All special effects. And it was pretty amazing looking stuff. But Snyder, one thing that was funny was that when I just recently saw the trailer for Sucker Punch
mm-hmm.
on the big screen, and that movie looks pretty damn cool. Like
yeah.
if you watch the CG and it's all 3D and stuff, I don't know.
No one has any idea what the fuck's going on in that movie.
It makes no sense, but the special effects and the scale of it looked so good, better
yeah.
than anything I'd seen him do before, that I was kind of thinking, like, if this was just a balls-out action movie, the Superman movie, and it was just like, he just goes to Darkseid's planet Apocalypse and just fucks everybody up for 2 hours and just beats the shit out of aliens and
mm-hmm.
stuff, and there's explosions everywhere and stuff, that would be really cool and that would really be on his turf. But I hear it's going to be more of like a thing of dealing with the character's early years and integration into Metropolis and stuff, so it's probably going to be boring.
Now, it's going to be interesting whether or not they're going to go with a stylized Metropolis, or they're going to, because I had heard that's what they were going to do.
Yep.
And that's what, when there was that talk of John Hamm doing the role,
that was a rumor. That was never,
yeah, I know, that was a rumor. That wouldn't have been too bad, actually.
I would have liked
different.
That. I would have liked that.
But you would have had an actual man as Superman.
That's what
not
I'm saying.
Doing that young. Because it's funny, speaking of the, you know, having a younger Superman, that Superman, what was it, Year Zero, Year One nonsense? Where he's like that...
Earth One.
Earth One.
Did you read that book?
I didn't read it. I skipped
okay.
through it.
I saw it. I checked it out. I read bits and pieces because I didn't want to buy it because I've read this origin
okay.
50 billion
yeah,
fucking
I
times. I can't do another one regardless of how good it is. I love J. Michael Straczynski, but Jesus Christ, I'm not going to read another. I'm not going to put the money down for another goddamn
I like
origin. I know his origin. Thank you.
I like how they tried to make this Clark Kent Superman contemporary by making him a shade paler and having his hair combed forward.
They already did that in the movie.
Yeah, and they already, I mean, they already, they had Superman, what was it, Superman Birthright by Mark Waid? And
that's a good book, man.
Yeah, and I hear that's a very good book. I mean, that's, you raised a very good point. We don't need another goddamn origin story.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that origin. I mean, it was a fine book. It was mm-hmm. from what I read. I mean, like I said, I didn't read the whole thing because I was just like, Jesus, there's two books on the shelf right now that are the same story, and it's the origin of the character.
Right.
And they're both hardcovers, and I was just like, look, I get it. I know where he comes from. Please, let's move on.
It's like,
here.
Look, I know you want to, you know, you want me to just take my money out of my wallet and just drop it right there.
Right, and it's like, I get, I appreciate what they're doing here, but you know, let's move on with this mm-hmm. character because this is getting really fucking old.
Right.
There's an entire TV series dedicated to this story.
Sadly,
it's
still
going.
On the air.
Shut the fuck up. So anyway, moving on. The movie's supposed to be something like, I hear rumored that it's going to be something like Earth One, where it's an semi-origin story.
Okay.
And it's that's unfortunate because, again, we're not moving on with the character, and it's not for any other reason than just it's not that entertaining anymore. We know this already. Let's keep going. You know, you want to show it in a flashback, you want to show it in 30 seconds at the intro, get it, great, but move on.
Now, what do you think about that they're speculating Jessica Biel is going to play Lois Lane?
I heard there's not going to be Lois in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
but that goes right up there with the fact that there's going to be no J. Jonah Jameson the Spider-Man movie. I heard that. I don't know if that's true, but I that's horseshit. Have you seen that new costume, by the way?
I have. What do you think of that costume? I want to hear your opinion.
I think
first.
It's pretty ugly, but it's fine. I mean, he looks like the character.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily understand the creative choices. It doesn't bother me, but it's kind of like, what? I don't see the purpose, but it's like, whatever.
I've always had extreme indifference with this current version of Spider-Man. It was very, very interesting to see those pictures where they show him from the backside. And I'll be
he's a well-defined man-ass.
As I would say, I'd hit it. But, you know, so it gets my approval. But
this is finally a fuckable Spider-Man.
Yes, because... you know, yanking it to pictures of Shocker is not cutting it anymore. But Jack Lantern every so often, but you know, mainly Shocker. But
what about the Hobgoblin?
Jesus Christ! I prefer Green Goblin 4. Thank you very much.
So anyway,
maybe Doppelganger.
You were saying? I mean, I hear this movie. I don't know how the fuck this movie's going to be because it sounds like it's just going to be boring and tedious.
Yeah.
Because not because of anything other than the fact that they already made a movie that explained this character.
Yes.
And we really, I'm not saying they should have, it should have been a sequel,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't need to be a retread on the origin. And again, I feel like I hear what's going on with this movie, and I can't confirm that because I don't work on the movie. I don't know, I don't have any insight other than what I read. It sounds again like we're retreading the origin.
Yeah.
And it seems like a terrible idea because mm-hmm. there's so much more that this character they've developed with this character, especially unlike Superman, this character's been developed quite a bit.
Yes.
And he aged, shockingly. This character had aged...
Until they did One More Day.
Well, yeah. And then fucked it all up again. But for a while, this character had grown up and changed and gone through these things that were actually very entertaining and could have made for great stories. For some reason, they feel like they need to go back and start over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's going to be... It might not be the worst movie of all time or anything, or even be bad, but it might be like The Incredible Hulk, where it was a... It's not that it didn't deserve to be done. It's just that... We've already seen it, so it's just chipping away at the entertainment value and the freshness of this franchise.
I'm sure Andrew Garfield will be perfectly fine as Spider-Man. I don't.
He'll be better than Maguire.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maguire only has like one expression.
Of absolute. What is that expression exactly?
Surprised, angry. It's all the same thing. Just wide-eyed and stoic. It's just nothing. No dialogue. I don't think he even talked in any of those movies.
He did
or at least
not,
the last
no,
two
did
movies,
not,
he didn't say anything.
Yeah, he did not drop.
He cried.
I remember that in the movie. He did not drop. People would bitch about the fact he's not quipping.
He's not fucking funny. What the hell?
In the suit. My thinking was at the time was like, well, that shit is real hard. It's not like, what is he going to do? Think, is he going to fight or is he going to work on his comedy?
Well, I'll tell you what. I just saw The Green Hornet. And
oh, Jesus.
Shockingly, that was a pretty entertaining movie.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't the best movie I've ever seen, but I fucking thought it was going to be the worst thing ever, and I enjoyed it. It's I guess if you're a Hornet fan going into it, like if you really like the old TV show or the radio show, you're probably going to be devastated by this interpretation of the characters. But I really enjoyed it. It felt kind of like, what if you combined Kick-Ass with Batman?
Okay.
You know, maybe more like the 60s Batman, but like whatever, you know, like the archetypal aspect of Batman or whatever you want to call it, and it was fun, and I saw them actually make a funny character out of the lead, and of course sometimes it's at the character's expense, but sometimes he's actually pretty funny in the costume doing mm-hmm. things. There was comedy there. It wasn't just that it was one-liners, just the character's approach to doing things more realistically
right.
and behaving more realistically made the character funny. And I hope that they would do something like that with Spider-Man, because that's been what the character's always done.
I doubt we're going to get that.
But probably not. They're probably going to take it way too seriously.
Right. Now I think we may have mentioned this before about the Green Hornet, but did they mention any reference to the Lone Ranger? I think we talked about this.
I could swear that during one scene when they're trying to name the character,
yeah.
someone says something about a masked character on a horse in the background, and I thought that was a reference to the Lone Ranger and the character's connection to the Lone Ranger, but I can't be certain.
Okay.
I didn't know what I heard exactly.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't blame you for not remembering, but...
I enjoyed the movie, though. I have to say that. I mean,
yeah, it's not like there's anything else out right now.
It was surprisingly tolerable.
Okay. And speaking of movies, we'll get into more stuff about that in just a moment. But one final thing related to comics.
Yeah, this is the comic nerdiest podcast we've ever done.
Well, it's going to get even nerdier, goddammit.
Oh, yeah. Be prepared, everyone listening.
Oh, yeah.
We got lots of boring shit about comic books.
Yeah. And a rampant hate for John Byrne and my constant lobbying for a Reed Fleming movie. So
I wanted to make that movie. I know I said
Reed
that before.
Fleming World
I had planned to make a Reed Fleming short film, and I'll still do it. But Harvey Pekar won't be able to play him now.
Yeah, because he's dead, so you're going to have to get someone else.
Right.
Anyway.
Are you volunteering?
I'm not shaving my head for this role.
You have to gain 70 pounds.
You have to gain 70 pounds.
Shave your head.
I got to wear a bow tie.
Oh, you know who would be awesome as Reed Fleming? Artie Lang.
Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to get a coherent performance out of the guy.
Yeah.
I always thought Ed O'Neill would have been a great Reed Fleming. But,
that would have been.
Oh, and speaking of one other thing, there's plans to finally bring back Fletch. I can't wait.
They've been wanting to do that for about 30 years.
Why the hell
can
they not? It will not cost any money to do.
No.
And
they could remake that original movie frame for frame with a new actor, and it would be fine.
I want a reimagining of the score from that movie desperately. Yeah.
God damn, that was a really 80s sounding score, by the way.
That score was awesome, god
it's
damn.
It's the most dated score of all time.
Hey, I love my synthesizer, god damn. You can't take that away from
it's
me.
It's more dated than the Beverly Hills Cop theme.
Don't be sassing the Beverly Hills Cop theme.
Anyway, so what was the second one?
So,
the second comic movie thing?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, the goddamn Batman 3. The Dark Knight
I hear they're
Rises.
Making another Batman movie.
Yes, they are. The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But so they made some recent casting decisions.
Robin Williams is going to play the Riddler. Oh, yeah.
God help us all.
Oh, wait. It's not 1994.
It's not 1994,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Robin Williams claimed that he wanted to do something in the movie. It's like... We're about 15 years too late with that.
So I actually had no problem with that because he was so awesome in Good Will Hunting, and he was also recently so good in World's Greatest Dad.
Yeah, I saw that recently. Yeah, he's
great. Yeah, that's such a great movie, and I want to give Bobcat Goldthwait a hug for making that movie because it was really good. And
have you ever seen Shakes the Clown?
No.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, really. I have to get around to that.
Tom Kenny, and I think I've said this before, at the time, he would have been an awesome Joker. He really is that good.
Yeah, I guess.
But the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants himself. So
yeah.
We just had some recent casting news with Batman 3.
Robin Williams. What's the other one?
Oh, God damn it.
We got Benicio Del Toro's Bane, I believe,
right.
And Johnny Depp will be playing the
Catwoman.
Riddler.
No.
There's three Riddlers in the movie, right?
There's
it's
three
Johnny
Riddlers.
Depp, Johnny Depp, Robin Williams, and Jude Law.
Jude Law is Mad Hatter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So anyway...
This is going to be a good movie.
Jesus Christ. And it's going to be written by Paul Haggis.
There you
so,
go. I want the David Mamet Batman movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyway, so we had Tom Hardy cast as Bane, which is interesting.
Awesome,
so,
yeah.
He's fantastic. It's going to be... So they're going to obviously, I guess, redo... He's not going to get bulky due to some Venom. They're not going to have that weird, freaky scene in Batman the Animated Series when they spiked the Venom
machine. He OD'd on Venom and he's like... His eyeballs popped His mask eyeballs
his
popped
His head's out. About to explode.
That was awesome, though. I love that.
Yeah. I can't control it, you know.
I am Bane. Yeah. His eyeballs pop out. Yes. He was such a dick in that cartoon.
Yes,
like
he was.
They didn't give a fuck about the character in the comics. So they just were like, he's a lucha libre. He looks like a fucking...
Yes, he is.
I think they tried to make him look like Spawn in the comics because they wanted him to look like a 90s anti-hero, Bane. Right? So they made him look like that, but then the cartoon guys were like, oh, he looks like a Mexican wrestler, so they just made him look like that. And
I know.
He was just an asshole.
When they said it was going to be Bane, and now they speculate it's going to be the Nightfall story. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
I sure as fuck hope not.
The only storyline I ever want to see, if I ever could see being adapted, but I'd prefer it to be animated, would be the Long Halloween storyline in the Tim Sale animation.
Yeah.
That would have been fantastic.
That'd be cool. You know what's funny is Nightfall wasn't the worst idea of all time, but the execution was really poor because the setup was actually not the worst idea. I mean, the idea that you would have someone who had it out for this character,
right,
in a mad way. I mean, Bane, if anyone's not familiar, going back to this comic geekery, Bane is a character who has the biggest raging hard-on for ruining Batman, like, more than anything you've ever seen before. He dedicates his entire existence to just ruining this character, and does so. And here's kind of what's funny, is I mean, obviously the movie's going to be a completely different take on this character.
Right.
Because in the book, Batman has to be well-established when he fights this character, because he's faced every single enemy you can think of from his rogues gallery at this point.
Right.
And then he breaks them out of Arkham Asylum. And what's funny is that they use part of this plot in the first movie.
Yeah.
When they broke all the characters out of Arkham and let them run rampant in the Narrows. That's the Nightfall plot. But it was all of the super criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, I mean, as super as these criminals really get, because even in the comics, they're not that intimidating. Right. But whatever.
Is fighting the Penguin going to really...
Yeah, I know. It's
down?
Like, oh no, I got to fight the Penguin and the Riddler. It's like... They're not. They don't have a plan or anything. They're just running the streets. They're not really that dangerous. So anyway, so the idea was to let these people go rampant, which, you know,
right.
As a kid, it makes perfect sense and it's awesome. But now as an adult, you're like, I don't know that really.
Yeah,
that really means anything. I think the cops would be all right with that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and then it exhausted Batman to a point where Bane was able to. He found his identity, and then tracked him to his house, beat the shit out of him in the Batcave, broke his back, and then Batman had to get a replacement, and then. Come back,
Azrael.
And then Azrael turned in. He went crazy, beat the shit out of Bane, and then Batman had to beat the shit out of him. It was a lot of people beating the shit out of each other, and then it all, you know how it ends.
And a fuck wasn't even given.
And like your criticisms of comics, nothing happened. It all went back to normal after that.
Yep.
Batman's back. His spinal injury got better, and he went back to fighting crime. Nothing happened. So it was an interesting idea that never panned out.
Of course.
Unlike, we won't get into that. But anyway, so. In the movie, obviously, they'll be changing a lot of that stuff because it doesn't make any sense, and I think that'll just be for the better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. It'll be interesting to see what their take is, and Tom Hardy is fantastic. He was great in Inception. I saw him in Bronson, which is not the best movie, but his performance is great. I got to warn you, for anyone seeing Bronson, heavy male nudity.
Yes. BNA, right?
CNA, really. I mean, it's omnipresent.
CNB,
right?
Or CNBNA?
BNA.
BNA, I coined this many years ago. This is when a man bends over and you get balls and ass. That's what bends over in the nude and it's balls and ass.
Yes.
So you got BNA.
I don't know
that you can get.
Figure it
if,
out.
If I think James, going back to your James Woods story, I think he could get the CNA, but it's not an easy thing to do.
No, they'd have to pull back.
And then the front would be CNB.
Right. Something like that.
So
anyway, so he's going to be in the movie.
Establish that. That's
going to be fantastic. What do you think about the fact that they're not going to have Catwoman in this movie?
What do you mean they're not going to have Catwoman?
They are going to have Catwoman.
You said they're not going to have Catwoman.
No, I didn't. You're hearing things.
So
reality is shifting as we speak.
The goddamn multiverse. it's imploding on its... the Anne Hathaway will be playing Catwoman, and I have literally no problem with that.
Okay. Because there was the original speculation that was Anne Hathaway was going to be in Superman, and then somehow she ended up in Batman. So.
I wish that Anne Hathaway would have played Dawes in the second movie. And I also wish they had actually written Dawes as a real character, not as a caricature.
It's tough.
A retarded caricature that she was.
It's tough, because that
was the
world,
only flaw of that movie.
Yeah, I could see that. It's just because Batman's world, I mean, because, you know, who's writing the comics? You know, the females are not the strongest.
The crazy... let me tell you something. There's no room for broads in this Batman world.
I know.
You hear that, ladies? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, soon they'll be wanting the vote. Yeah.
But no, seriously, like, I thought Dawes was a... well, we've been over this. Whatever. Anyway, so that was a weakness in the second movie. But hopefully Catwoman will be badass. I always liked the cartoon version of Catwoman.
Yes.
I thought she was really cool.
Although, you know, it's funny that in this world, I imagine they're going to address this. Because when they redesigned Catwoman, she still had the helmet with the ears and all that.
I hope she doesn't have a costume. I know that's going to sound really weird, but I really
Well, here, I can understand why. Because, okay, say they find her on camera. Okay, they clearly identified her as who she is.
Well, the stupid new costume they have, she has these goggles that don't hide her identity, and just a cat hat on, like a little mask. It looks like one of those knit caps you tie up for winter.
Yeah.
Like the little ears on it. And and I don't understand. I've never really fully understood the character. She doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
Like, she's supposed to go toe-to-toe with Batman, but Frank Miller made her like a hooker with just karate experience. And you're like, I don't think that's really a formidable opponent. I hope that they give her some kind of cooler origin in here. To, you know, this guy is trained like mad to become the super, you know, superhero kind of guy, and she would just be this hooker with a cat suit
on. Karate.
And I like, what are you doing? You don't have a car. You don't have anything. You know,
some thigh highs.
Yeah, you got
some heels,
stilettos, and a fucking cat hat on with some glasses. You're just like an idiot. So if the character's not an idiot, because they had to make her, you know, supernatural sort of in the second movie, which I liked because it was a fantasy story in that in that context. They made her like a fantasy character, and it made more sense that she would be able to go toe-to-toe because she was sort of magical. But in this one, I don't know how they're going to justify that.
Well, we'll find out. I'm sure it'll be very intriguing. And then finally, the latest bit of rumor is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, as you know, the person who'll play me in the upcoming Hawken biopic, is expected to be in this movie. Now, there's no word as to what he is going to play.
Everyone's freaking out that he's going to play Robin.
Yeah, there's not going to be any...
The 32-year-old Robin.
And we're not even talking the new Robin with the body armor. We're talking classic Robin with the green,
just green
scaly shorts,
green under panties.
Jesus Christ!
Just
under roofs.
Yeah, just these little green shorts with a red laced thing on. It's just a horrifying outfit.
Even more retarded than the Chris O'Donnell Robin from Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Even more retarded.
Well, I mean, the idea is cool. Like, I mean, if they're going to bring in the character...
They're not going to bring in Robin.
No, I mean, but if they did, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't have a problem with that.
The
really.
Only way I could see them bringing in Robin, if they even tried, is if not as if he's a ward of Bruce Wayne, but the fact that... And because they did that with the guys...
He's
that,
a sassy black man.
Yes, Donald Glover as Robin. Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Donald Glover as Robin.
Yes.
In The Dark Knight Rises.
I agree with this.
Okay. So, because they had the wannabe Batman running around wearing hockey pads, that you would have another trained vigilante.
It's important to remember that Batman is not wearing hockey pads.
Exactly.
Did you get that?
Yeah, he takes that shit very personally. Okay. Damn it. He takes it very personally. So, that you'd have another
imitator,
and that they somehow meet.
A
copycat. But you have also that ambivalence.
Are you ready for this? I'm about to blow your mind.
Okay.
There's rumors that Catwoman is going to be an in-place vigilante or a copycat vigilante of Batman.
Oh.
A Catwoman or a copycat. See what I did there?
You son of a bitch.
Isn't that crazy? Whoa.
Oh, my God. The stakes have been raised.
Whoa.
But the other speculation is that he's going to be the Riddler. Which I know, because people have been all as soon as the
what is the Riddler going to do in this movie, man?
Exactly. I mean, the only thing that the Riddler was ever because obviously he's a fan, because as soon as the second movie was made, was released, people were thinking the Riddler was going to be the third one.
It's the goddamn Riddler.
Yeah, I know. I remember the fantasy casting was they wanted David Tennant to be the Riddler.
Oh,
which
my God, that would have been awful, dude. Not because he sucks, but because like David Tennant is not a strong enough personality to carry that villain role.
Right.
He's just not.
And then the idea would be like a Zodiac-like movie. It'd be like all this criminal investigation
stuff.
Yeah,
but nobody wants to watch that shit.
Yeah, right.
There's not enough explosions. Riddler doesn't equal explosions. And, that's the movie people want to see.
It's tough, because when you think about it, it's like, when you get down to it, it's like he's got the Joker. And
look what they tried to do with Riddler in Batman Forever, and you can see they stretched so far.
Yeah.
They tried so hard to make him a supervillain, and it just became ridiculous, like completely ridiculous.
See, because he's got the Joker, that's his main guy, and then when you think about it with the rest of the villains, there's not really a lot to work with.
Bane is the biggest one after
Bane
all.
Bane is the biggest one, or I think you mentioned Deadshot also.
No. I like Deadshot, but I don't think he can carry a movie. I just like that character.
Right.
By the way, currently, recently made an appearance on Smallville. Go ahead, anyway.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But there's not really a lot of other villains. I mean, Mad Hatter? That's basically the Riddler. I mean, it's another psychological.
Yeah, I don't want to nauseate the audience with fan speculation.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because if you really go through this, the Rogues Gallery, you're not going to find a better opponent than this character they've chosen for the next one, Bane. It promises to be very entertaining, and if they can tie it in with the League of Shadows for the final, the existing League of Shadows after the first movie. That's I'd love to see them pull that around. But you know, whatever.
I know the other thing was like after, especially with the death of Heath Ledger, people were going to be like, well,
bring back the Joker
and have Joseph Gordon-Levitt do it, or be like the Joker's little brother, you know, or because they're not.
God. Gonna,
yeah, I know. They're just fucking around, and you know, clearly it's going to be a question as to what they're going to do. Is Anthony? I think the other question is
Anthony Edwards going to be? Oh, go ahead.
Anthony
sorry.
Michael Hall going to come back?
Yeah. Will what's his name? Angel?
Mike Angle?
And Mike Angle, is he coming back?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
Did he survive that bus attack?
Maybe he'll turn out to be the Joker all along.
You son of a goddamn it!
Whatever. Anyway, so there's that. I think Gordon Levitt's going to end up playing some boring character, side character, like he's going to be the new DA or some shit. He's not going to be anything like that. I think it's going to be there. People are just going nuts.
This is
going
to be dressed the same way. And
by the way, if you ever want to just lose all hope with humanity, go look at, if you haven't already, listen to this podcast. If you'd like to further this endeavor, go look at fan speculation for movies like this on websites, and you'll just see a bunch of, I don't know if people have Asperger's or what the problem is, you just see the most retarded nonsense, just like people, it's nauseating, it's like just no worldview, just completely naive in all levels of reality. It's the youth and adult people of America at their worst, and just exposing the disgusting underbelly. If we were judged as a country based off message boards, we would have been nuked by somebody a long time ago, really, honestly. Yes. Somebody would have had to intervene.
Right.
Maybe we would have turned them on ourselves. Maybe the government would have been like, we got to purge. We
got to restart the
clock. It'd be some kind of 1984 scenario. Like, we just can't do this anymore. Yep. We can't progress as a society with this. This is awful.
Yes. But you're right. And I was about to say, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt just shows up like he wasn't from Inception into this movie. So I think he'll just reprise his role as Arthur. I think that's what it'll be.
Inception would have made an awesome Batman film. They could have made him Leonardo DiCaprio would have been the Mad Hatter, and he would have hooked people up to this machine. Hey. And they would have had to fucking fight on this dream world.
Yes,
that would have been a really cool genre, unexpected genre take on the on the franchise.
That really expands on the role of the Mad Hatter when you think about it. So we'll see.
If they had something that high concept for a sequel, I would have really liked that. But that would have been really controversial at the same time.
Yeah, of course, someone's going to complain. But now going back to speaking about films as usual, I just want to mention I actually recently just made this purchase. I bought The Social Network poster, which is right behind
us. It's Jesse Eisenberg is staring at us right now.
Jesse Eisenberg is watching us masturbate.
What would you say the scale of his head was in this picture? I'd say it's about 5-6 times normal size.
I've never had Jesse Eisenberg over here. So
Using your own head as a scale.
Oh my god, my own head? Well, my own head is huge anyway.
Well, that would only make it twice the size of your
exactly.
head.
Exactly. So
this is about
in relation to your head, it'd be about 5-6. So
It's actually kind of disturbing.
I don't have a dating life anyway, so fuck it.
Eyes follow you around the room.
Yeah, it's going to be, and what it is actually there's a secret compartment behind that poster, so the eyes will be, I actually can open them and stare throughout, even though it's a 3-room apartment, and just monitor people, even though, once again, this is a 3-room apartment. So, but
keep abreast of things.
Exactly, because I want to, when I hold my murder mystery parties around here, but you know, as I'm talking about movies, I do see a lot of movies. Recently, there was I've been really fortunate to have seen this. This is a real gem, a real treat.
Is it porn? Is it porn?
It is not porn this time. I got to see William Friedkin's Sorcerer on the big screen at the Arrow Theater in Santa Monica, which is where we saw RoboCop several months ago. This was a real treat. For those of you that don't know, this is the story of Sorcerer. It's a remake of a movie called The Wages of Fear. The Wages of Fear.
Oh.
Okay. It'd be funny if it was Waiters. But in Sorcerer, Roy Scheider's in it, being awesome.
Yeah, being Brown.
And there's a few foreign actors in there that I don't recognize.
Fuck them.
Exactly. Fuck the rest of the world. And anyway, so they're in some shithole South American country. There's a big oil well fire. These guys who left their lives in another part of the world because they're trying to escape something are hired to transport dynamite. Now they're in the shittiest. You gotta stay the fuck. Don't be.
Wow, that sounds boring. That sounds delightfully boring.
I'm getting to my goddamn point here. So they gotta transport this dynamite over shitty roads in shitty trucks. What's the other issue? The dynamite is old, and not only is it old, it's sweating. No, I don't mean I'm talking about a euphemism here. it the dynamite, because it's not turned, it sweats nitroglycerin, so it's really
They stole this on Lost.
Yeah, and that's what happened to the guy from Matlock. He killed himself, so because he mishandled the dynamite. So I'm talking about, of course, about Andy Rooney. So in the movie, stay the fuck up. So in the movie, they're hired, and that's the movie. They get through the unbelievable hell. And one of the signature scenes, and you see it on the poster of the movie, is the bridge sequence. I'm not going to really spoil anything, but that was one of the most riveting things I've ever seen on screen. It was probably the most riveting time ever I had in the movie since I'd seen The Hurt Locker.
You shat yourself.
I didn't shit myself.
Out of terror. Suspense. You squeezed a little bit out there, right?
No.
A couple drops.
I was sweating it. That's how I was. Yes. My pants were clean. And that was unbelievable, because this movie was made in 1978, and...
Back before they invented suspense.
Yes, back before they invented... Because they didn't have no fancy computer technology back then. So it was all mechanical. And what really sucks is that this movie does not have a proper DVD release. It is on a shitty, out-of-print, full-frame DVD. Now, here's some good news. Because the other cool thing is William Friedkin...
Is it on Laserdisc?
Actually, it may have been on Laserdisc. I don't know. But anyway, William Friedkin was there. This was the other treat. And I definitely... You know, he was talking about a bunch of different things. He's talking about... you know, in March of all things, to start work on the Blu-ray of this movie. Now, I don't give a shit about Blu-ray, but the fact is that this movie needs a proper release. I mean, for fuck's sake, Cruising got a re-release and got actually a decent DVD, even though that movie is horrible. So, great time capsule, but a terrible movie.
Well, the quality doesn't determine the release, though.
Yeah, but you're right. So, it's really, this movie is really undeserving. It's got a beautiful score by Tangerine Dream. You may have remembered them as doing the electronic score from Risky Business. I love that score. And they've done a lot of other movies. Kind of reminds me of, like, that score for Tangerine Dream is also reused in the trailer for The Warriors. It's the same music.
Yeah.
Now, the other reason I came across Sorcerer is because I came across a 19-year-old Simpsons joke from the Mr. Plow episode. He's coming across the rickety bridge.
You just obsess over the most obscure jokes in the Simpsons.
This is what happens.
You're like, I didn't get this joke. I got to track down the source.
This is what happens when you don't have a sex life, ladies and gentlemen. So... So they have that rickety bridge scene. They mentioned that in the commentary. It's like, Sorcerer, what the hell? So
there's a commentary track.
How they reference it, because I didn't know what that was. I just thought it was a funny joke.
So they just said, oh, that's from Sorcerer.
Yeah.
Like,
and we were like, because I thought it was a funny joke where he's on the rickety bridge and there's actually a brand spanking new safe bridge right next door to him. So I never got the joke.
Classic,
it's kind of like...
Classic comedy.
It's kind of like that, you know, when they reference Westworld when Bart tried to skip school.
Yes, we know they reference goddamn Westworld.
I didn't know, but...
And Future World and Magic World and all that.
Yeah.
Logan's Run and everything.
Where anything could possibly go wrong. So,
yeah, where Yul Brynner will fuck your shit up.
Yeah, exactly. And boy, do I have a vacation for you. So anyway, you know, it's an amazing movie. And like I said, William Friedkin was there. You know, I know you're a huge fan of William Friedkin and... I really enjoyed The French Connection was fantastic. I also, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have time. They also were showing The Exorcist. I did not have time to watch The Exorcist.
I have a cinematic, raging cinematic hard-on for... I'm going to make a lot of boner references in this. That's how I gauge everything. Friedkin is amazing. And if anyone hasn't seen it, if you rent or buy or whatever, the Criterion version of the movie M, the movie, I think it's the first movie ever to feature an actual serial killer, played by Peter Lorre, of all people, who's an amazing actor. I know he turned into a bit of a cliche after a while, and people remember him mostly as being imitated on Looney Tunes cartoons, but he definitely was an amazing actor for his time, and Peter Lorre plays the villain in that, and, well, arguably the villain, you know. It's a movie called M, and on the Criterion DVD, there's an interview with the director, Fritz Lang, and Fritz Lang is one of the pioneers of early cinema, there's like a 2-hour-long interview, and William Friedkin interviewed Fritz Lang in the 70s, I believe before he passed away.
Right.
And crazy one-eyed Fritz Lang. Like, at this point, he's got an eye patch on. He's nuts. And he interviews him for quite a while, and it's a fascinating interview. And I think anyone who's interested in film just at all, in any peripheral way, will really take a lot away from that, and I highly recommend it.
And during when they were talking about Sorcerer, and then people were like, what's the title from? And... You actually learn from the movie, and this is not a spoiler, it's the name of one of the trucks. It says Sorcerer on the side. Friedkin talked about a lot, saying, you know, we had a real hard time trying to find a title for this movie, He originally, and I kid you not, this is his original title for the movie, is going to be Ball Breaker, until the head of Universal said, "Are you fucking nuts?" And then they were trying to decide between Lazarus or Sorcerer. So the movie was kind of fucked either way.
Lazarus probably would have been a better title for marketing purposes.
Maybe.
Sorcerer is really confusing.
The other issue is that this movie opened up against Star Wars, so it got smushed. Yeah. And
wait, which one?
The original.
In the 70, first Star Wars. 78?
Yeah.
No, Star Wars came out in 76.
77, I thought. Whatever. No, Star, you're right. So I thought, yeah, Star Wars came out in 77. This movie opened at the same time. So in 77, this movie came out, Sorcerer.
Wait, I'm going to double-check the Star Wars thing while you're talking.
Yeah, go look that up.
I got to check this out, because we're going to get our asses handed to us if we get the Star Wars.
Well, they can get fucked if we happen to confuse them. I'm pretty sure Star Wars is 1977. So they released this movie, and then the other thing was that they were originally going to have Steve McQueen in this movie, but he could not get... He was married, I think, or dating Ally McGraw, and he didn't want to leave her in the States. And had Steve McQueen been in the movie, it probably would have been a huge hit.
Yeah.
But it didn't pan out, so they,
so
got,
they got Roy Scheider. That's too bad, because that's post Jaws. So you think
post Jaws, pre all that jazz. So yeah. What does that tell you? You had some fantastic.
You just can't win there.
Yeah, and I mean, it really is a gem, and I can't recommend it enough. And for anyone who really, I mean, as I said, this movie is fucking riveting. It gets a little weird towards the end, but still damn good. And what's really interesting also is that this movie does not have a lot of dialogue either. And the reason for that is Friedkin talked about when he had spent a couple of years redubbing The Exorcist for a bunch of different markets. And he talked about how they were showing The Exorcist in Thailand. Well, they didn't have a Thai dub. They didn't have Thai subtitles. They had run either the English or French dub or subtitle. They would run for about 7 to 8 minutes on like the back wall of some store. They'd stop the movie. Someone would get up, explain what just happened, sit back down, turn back the movie back on, and do the same thing. So he wanted a movie that had as much international appeal as you could get. And then, I'm blanking out at this moment. But
wait, while you're blanking out, Star Wars did come out in 1977.
That's right. And then the other, what's also interesting as to why this movie could never get made today is that one of the characters involved is actually an Arab terrorist. He's a, there's a scene that takes place in Jerusalem. Another guy is an embezzler from a French bank. The other guy's a hitman. And Roy Scheider's a wheelman. And it's funny to actually have that, because people would be losing their shit if...
When you say wheelman, you mean like a...
A driver for a...
That's what,
for
okay, robs, that's what I thought. I just want to be sure.
For, you know, guys who rob. And yeah. They just show up in this shithole South American country.
Now he'd be played by Jason Statham.
Maybe, or they'd fuck... Yeah, that's a good point, actually. They probably would get Jason Statham.
I wouldn't want to see him in that role.
It's a real simple story that could apply to a lot of things. Like, you could probably do your own... Like, if you had your own... Who would you have in your four-man team to drive this sweaty dynamite around? But...
That's what they should have called the movie. Sweaty
Dynamite.
Sweaty Dynamite.
That would have gone real well. But,
Give it a nice 70s score.
Yes. But it's got a great 70s electronic score, so...
Well, I mean, like, I didn't elaborate enough, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. a jazzy...
Right. Jazzy. A lot of wow and all that.
Yeah.
Waka jawaka.
Sweaty Dynamite.
A lot of afros going on. And then the other thing that Friedkin talked about, he talked a lot about film, and this is really cool, is that, first off, he talked about he had no film school experience. It's like, you know, basically, he just said, watch Hitchcock, and you basically got it right there. And the other thing he presented was that for anyone who's starting out on this, and I think for anyone who does anything creative, this is a really good point, is that anytime you start out, it's virtually, you're going to pattern yourself after the stuff you like.
Yeah.
You're not going to be, unless you come from some place where you're not exposed to anything, you would be have a perfectly unique view on things. You're going to imitate what you do. You're going to try and put your own spin on it, but you are still going to imitate, pattern yourself after what you like. And I thought that was very, very good and very, very interesting to hear that. Put something in perspective so it doesn't feel like, because for anyone who's writing something or trying to put something together, it's like, am I really, or I'm ripping this guy off, or this is the same goddamn thing all over again. It still presents a very good point. And also, he was talking about him being a documentarian and all that stuff, which explains his documentary feel.
Oh, yeah, that's why all his movies look like they're... That's why The Exorcist is such an awesome movie, because it's not over-dramatized. It's like, it plays out like reality.
Yeah, same thing with The French Connection also.
Absolutely.
I
emphasize that for the horror movie aspect, because... Not that horror, that's never been attempted in horror, it's
right.
Just that it was so legit, for a horror film.
And obviously the stories about that movie, he even said, in the theaters, well, you got 5 hours, so of all the things going on. And then he was talking about the real life case, and that the guy supposedly where this real life exorcism occurred in Maryland is still alive, the same age as Friedkin, and the Catholic Church still checks up on him every so often.
Yeah.
So
make sure he's not possessed by the devil.
Exactly. And then he also talked about, because we recently had the Oscar nominations, he talked about that, because we always get into that horse race mentality for the people that follow this stuff, that, really, you're dealing with a real subjective medium film, and that he even talked about, you would have five, say someone was playing Robin Hood, you had five, Robin Hoods, and each one had their own different approach. It's like, how do you, rate the best of that, and especially in something like, say, Best Actor, you have five different actors, five different characters, five different approaches. And he basically said the Oscars are probably one of the best marketing gimmicks out there.
Yeah.
Because, as he said, film is such a subjective thing. So, as you know, because we always talk about this, and I've talked about this, on this show, on Movie Moan, about, I always say, fuck the award shows, fuck the Oscars, because we can go down the line of the movies that have been awarded because it's Oscar bait, or they, and the movies that should have won but didn't due to some bullshit politics. So, and everyone has their own opinion.
Yeah.
So, and really, what does it matter about the gold statue, because...
It's huge, I think, from a marketing standpoint,
right.
Because it's really the only purpose of it is that it's the illusion of a legitimacy greater than your peers. You can really... It works really well for the studios and for the actors and stuff like that, because, like you said, it's for promotion,
mm-hmm.
And everyone tunes in and starts... And they feed you who the best are. It's someone else determining what you should like.
Yeah.
And that's what all this stuff does. That's what MTV does. That's what everything does.
Oh, and speaking of MTV, fuck the U.S. skins. I'll just mention that right now, just only because that...
Because you're an elitist who likes stalling the British.
I'm not elitist. I'm elitist to shitty television. So that's why. But
because you like British stuff, man. Any English thing. But I'll be fair on that. Life on Mars fucking sucked. The American version.
Oh, I agree.
That was a horrendous piece of shit.
I agree.
Pile of shit. I don't care what anyone says.
I can assure you hey, we were this close to having a U.S. version of Space, or, done by McGee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That would have been, oh, God. But yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, sorry, you were saying.
But it's funny because you were saying, talking about the marketing, about the Oscars. It's funny because people get awarded, but then you don't hear from them again. Have we heard anything from, Roberto Benigni in the past 15 years? No, we haven't. Thank fuck we haven't,
Yeah.
So,
or you got against Roberto Benigni, by the way.
Huh?
Cuba Gooding Jr., by the way, is one of the most underutilized talents. I'm not kidding. I'm not being ironic.
Where's the bag of money you just got?
He thank you, cha-ching. let me tell you something about Cuba Gooding Jr. They asked me to read this. I'm serious. I think Cuba Gooding Jr. is a wasted talent. I think he's a very good actor who just... really, really, really is underutilized. He mm-hmm. just picks all the wrong projects. I mean, he's making money, though, so what does he care?
Right.
But Jesus Christ, you see, his early work, and then you see where he went post-2000. I blame Pearl Harbor for all this. Post-Pearl Harbor was a bad world for...
A lot of people.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
I'm proud to say I never watched Pearl Harbor. It's like, when I heard...
I couldn't make it all the way through.
That movie was
such a Michael Bay movie, for God's sake. Yeah.
So... it was really great to see something that from a real original, and treat to be a part of that. And then the other thing that happened was that we had Edgar Wright was doing his film festival at the New Beverly, that was going on all last month.
Yeah.
I had the ability to see.
So just go ahead and pour salt on that wound. Thanks a lot, man.
Let me just fuck.
I really wish I could have been there for that. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So I saw Shaun of the Dead, Hot. I saw the triple feature. I got into that.
Yeah.
Although the funny thing is, so Edgar Wright was there. He talked about his stuff. Now, the funny thing is, they brought out all the big guns for the Saturday show, so I didn't get to sexually harass Johnny Simmons. And, which kind of like, well, what the fuck? I came for the first night. I mean, sure, we had the director there.
Well, Saturday, I've always thought Saturday was going to end up being the bigger night. And it turns out that that's what's happened.
And it used to be that Friday, Saturday was the lesser of the two nights.
But I want to say, fuck Friday, it's all about
Saturday. But what was cool on the Friday night is that I got to ask a question. So I didn't say Ed Hawken of the Ed Hawken Show.
I got to ask a question.
I had my little hat with the press card on the side. No, I got to ask because this was a lot when they were doing when we were talking about Scott Pilgrim.
Were you saying the hot... Okay, never mind. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to... I was going to derail. Let's just keep it on track.
So anyway, for the Scott Pilgrim movie... I had asked, because in the commentary for the movie...
Yeah, what'd you ask?
Let me get to the fucking point. He mentions that he had actually wanted to do the movie as early as 2005. That's when the books started coming out.
Yep.
And he worked with Brian Lee O'Malley to see, because he had no idea where the story was going to go. Neither did O'Malley. Well, he talked about doing it as early as 2005. So I asked, because we always, in dealing with movies and throughout history, we always hear about what could have been in terms of casting. You know, Christopher Walken as Han Solo. You know, Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones. Thank fuck we didn't have O.J. Simpson as the Terminator.
Yeah.
But, so I'd ask him, like, were you considering anyone in 2005? Because Michael Cera would have been kind of young for the role. And he said, actually, because Arrested Development was going on at that time.
Yeah.
He wanted Michael Cera for the role of Scott Pilgrim. But he thought at the time, in 2005, he was a bit young. But then he went to do Hot Fuzz. And when he came back, you know, Michael Cera was the right age. So for all that pissing and moaning about Michael Cera being miscast, that's exactly what Edgar Wright wanted. In fact, he mentioned that for all the people involved in the movie, that's who he wanted. There was no one he could not get for that movie. So that's exactly who he wanted cast.
I had no problem with Cera. I can see where the hardcore fans probably wouldn't have visioned him in the role, but the movie has its own, like a lot of things, it took on its own identity and created a different character out of Scott. And sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. I didn't think it was a night and day thing I'm trying to think of another adaptation where you just thought, man, that was totally different, but it still worked. I guess like a Michael Keaton thing, you know, where he didn't really fit the bill very well at all from the traditional version of the character, but somehow was still totally legit in the role.
Mm-hmm.
And probably could have played the character straight up as he was intended in the book as well, even being a different kind of guy.
Right.
And I think Michael Cera fits that, where it's like he's playing somehow the original and a new version at the same time.
Right.
You know, and it's, I don't know if that makes any
sense. Well, it's a different approach. You know, it's,
I think it's legit, though.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, that was really cool. And then the other thing, I got to see two gang pictures out of 1979. This is the other great treat. I saw The Warriors and another movie called The Wanderers, which is with Ken Wall from Wise Guys, directed by the guy who did the 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Boo!
That movie was actually very good, actually.
Oh, I like the original, so...
Yeah. I know that final shot of Donald Sutherland screaming has been beaten to death on the internet, but...
You! Go ahead.
Well, he's just screaming at this point, but... that was actually very good. It's actually, that movie was written... It's based on a book by Richard Price... The Wanderers. It's his first book. He wrote that when he was 24.
Who?
Richard Price. He's a
crime. No. I'm sorry. I meant who directed it. I'm losing it.
A guy by the name of Philip Kaufman, who did The Right Stuff, and then his, you know, he just, once again, his career kind of went off the rails. But it was really cool because, you know, it was because the new Batman is this ability to bring in people. Fucking Walter Hill was there. For the Warriors, and so were the two producers. And one of them, I don't know if it looked like Dick Miller, but, you know, Walter Hill was talking about, you know, just...
How old is Walter Hill now?
Well, he's got to be in his 60s, if not early 70s at this point.
Yeah.
And what was really... And then, the other thing, the big thing, James Remar was there.
Yeah.
And I just got to say one thing. I had no idea James Remar is 57 years old, because holy shit, he looks great. And I don't mean that sexually. I mean that in the physical sense... That he just fucking looks good.
He looks good for his age. I saw a picture of him at the thing you're talking about, and he really looks... I mean, I know it sounds stupid to go, like, he's 57, but he could easily pass for 50. But, I mean, like, seriously, he doesn't look that old.
No. He's my father's age. That's how old he is. And I had no idea, because when I saw him in The Warriors, and I didn't even realize he was who he was in The Warriors. I didn't know he was Ajax, because he...
That throws me off, because I knew exactly who that was.
Yeah, and, well, the thing is...
I was like, holy shit, it's James Remar.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, because I guess Ajax, well, he had a rounder face, and, you know, he looks older, and I just never... Because how often do I think about James Remar? The fucking time.
I was going to say, I think about James Remar quite often.
But,
again, not sexually. Go ahead.
Yes, so they were talking about all this great stuff about the Warriors. What's really interesting to me is because that movie is not a long movie. It moves very, very fast.
The best 45 minutes you'll ever spend.
It took a long time to shoot because it was all night shoots in the summer, and because of union rules, they didn't have a lot of time to shoot. And then remember the signature scene about with the bottles and Warriors come out and play? That was all improvised. That was done right on the set.
Yeah.
David Patrick Kelly was like, I got an idea, because Walter Hill wanted to do something more than just stare at him from the car. And the funny thing is that whole thing with the clicking of the bottles, apparently, from the producers had said, yeah, some guy, when David Patrick Kelly was growing up, would used to do taunt him by doing that. So that's where it came from. And, you know, it was just amazing stuff. And it was very interesting, the fact that he had a real comic, apparently a comic book feel. Now, fortunately, they did play the original cut. I've never seen the director's cut, and I don't want to see the director's cut. So I don't know why Walter Hill went with that. I'm not gonna. No one bothered to ask because it was not appropriate.
What's wrong with the director's cut?
It's got these weird panels in it. It's just.
What do you mean? Panels.
Like it'll free. From what I've gathered, because I've never seen the director's cut, but I've read about it and I've seen pictures. It'll kind of freeze in these comic book panels, and then like I guess transition. And then the other thing is, it'll say somewhere in the future. It'll pull you out of the idea that this is the late 1970s New York.
Oh.
So it's kind of stupid.
That's pointless
and unnecessary. And so it was really cool, and you know, James Remar was talking about the fact, the acting process, and you know, they were talking about, like, you know, really Ajax should have been able to come home. And then James Remar says, you know what, Walter, Ajax has come home, and it was really awesome. And then Walter Hill got to actually said Warriors come out and play in that voice. Edgar was like, I've been, you know, wanting you to say that for years, and we all went crazy. And, it was a real treat. And
is that your favorite Walter Hill movie?
I was surprised. I really enjoyed The Warriors. I can't say. I mean, I've seen quite a few Walter Hill movies. I mean, Southern Comfort, great movie. 48 Hours is a great movie.
48 Hours is my favorite.
I got to rewatch it at some point. It's been a real long time. I can't think
Eddie,
of a
that's lot. That's my favorite Eddie Murphy movie.
I actually saw Johnny Handsome, which was kind of eh, and I never saw Last Man Standing. And I'm trying to think what else I had seen.
Was Last Man Standing, was that the remake
of Yojimbo?
Yeah, okay.
I haven't seen, I can't think of any other Walter Hill movies that he's done. I'm really blanking out. I know I didn't see Supernova, so.
Yeah, no one
did. I can't think of anything else that he's done. I know he's done a shit ton of stuff. I'm blanking out really badly. But that was a real treat, and it was just, you know, really cool because that vibe and. The score from that movie, and the fact that you can't, you know, I don't know what a gang, you know, roller skating gangs. It's kind of funny that the guy who ran the roller skating gang in the subways kind of looked like Andy Kaufman when you think about it.
But it was I've Andy never Kaufman. Been a huge Warriors fan. I don't hate the movie. I just never been a fan. I got nothing.
What it is for me is that I really enjoy that world. You know, even though I'd be scared shitless if I was actually in that world, we've talked about that. Shitty 70s New York, yeah. And, I really enjoy movies like that where you're in a kind of world. Not necessarily has to be a fantastical world, but, you know, you can really, you know, feel, you know.
I like the Death Wish angle on that. I enjoy that kind of shitty 70s, because if you're going to be shitty 70s, you got to have.
Take your rage out on it.
Yeah, you got to have it be Bronson fucking people up.
Speaking of that, I love the remake of Death Wish where he's out there killing hipsters.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, is that a vintage coat? No, it's a right now coat. And he shoots up.
I forgot.
And then another one where he like kills a guy and he shoots his ghetto blaster because he's playing MGMT and he fucking shoots.
Yeah.
Hey, you mind turning that down? You know, shoots him.
That was
he's like had it up through
Charles
here with
Bronson
an asshole way.
Yeah.
Which was great. And it was just really cool. And then I think the other thing was like when they were in like the shitty neighborhoods of New York, it was great to hear like they actually had a cop from the NYPD talking, you know, on hand, that, you know, because they were actually hustling up, you know, gang members to film as extras, but they didn't want anyone with facial hair. And Walter Hill explicitly said that. And then one time, this 12-year-old kid comes up to while they're shooting, is like, give me $500. I'm from like I think it was like the Spanish Kings or something like that. So they didn't believe him. They thought he was fucking around. So
he slapped him.
One of the producers calls up this guy from the gang control bureau at the NYPD, and it's like, yeah, this kid's come up, and, like, he's saying he's from this gang, and the guy comes later and says, like, yeah, pay him the $500. So
the cops told him to pay?
The cops told him to pay the guy if they want to keep their trucks. So that was such a fucking great moment. And,
that's awesome.
Shit. And then one other thing I learned just from Trailers of Hell, which is a great website, is that there's this movie, I kid you not, called Emperor of the North, that features Lee Marvin and Ernest Borgnine in the Great Depression. Lee Marvin plays a hobo. Ernest Borgnine is the toughest train conductor who will not have a hobo ride his train. And Lee Marvin is going to be the man who is going to challenge him on that and ride his goddamn train. And that's the whole fucking
that
movie.
That sounds like...
Directed by the guy who did The Dirty Dozen.
Jesus Christ.
I've put it in my queue. I cannot wait to see that.
You're the only person I know that would be interested in a movie like
Surprisingly, that. Surprisingly, there are other people who have been seeing this, but...
Who? Old people?
Huh?
Old people, very, very old people.
Well, there's a certain individual from the boards who knew it very well.
Would he prefer not to be named?
Well, he's a certain Kentucky gentleman, I'll just say. He has his own website. And
we're not questioning his taste in film. I was just saying, like...
No,
that just seems like, it seems like a senior citizen niche movie.
Well, it was the 70s. They did a lot of weird shit back then, but...
you couldn't get away with something like that now.
You can't. Yeah, you can't do that now.
I know. I was just watching The Sting recently, and that's a movie that probably never would get made ever again.
Even though I've seen quite a few con man movies in my time.
Yeah.
Not that... Oh, and speaking of that, not related to that, but the fact that Javier Bardem is going to be in the new James Bond movie, so that's...
Well, yeah, they're doing the new Bond 23, which is done by Sam Mendes, who I really like. I don't know if you're a fan of his.
I enjoy... You know what it is? I like Jarhead for one in the theater. That was all right. And then the other thing was, so I know he can kind of do action.
You see Road to Perdition?
Oh, yeah. That was great. Yeah. And then the other thing was, I admit... See, now I don't really like it that much now, but I really enjoyed American Beauty at the time. Granted, it was during while my parents were divorcing, so I really sympathized.
I like that movie. I think it's great.
Yeah, although I think it got way too over, you know, people just grabbed onto that movie like no one's business. But that's when Kevin Spacey gave a damn. Although he was great in Moon. I know you don't like that movie, but he was great. But
I like Spacey. I mean,
yeah. Well, it's weird with him, but. Yeah, I think it's great. I never bothered seeing Quantum of Solace under your advisement.
I felt very burned by that.
But it's good that they're getting this movie together. Because otherwise, they may not have Craig back. And you think because I think Craig's been certainly one of the best.
I dug his Quantum. The Casino Royale performance a lot, and I hope he's back for the next one. The only thing is the death sentence to the movie seems to have already been put in place, which is that the title, Under the Red Sky. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they're gonna call it's supposedly called Under the Red Sky, and I just thought, what the fuck is wrong with the guys making Bond movies these days that they can't name a good Bond movie anymore?
It's like, fucking tough.
Even the shittiest Bond movies had the coolest names, like even post GoldenEye, which was arguably the
worst
of the
worst.
The World
Is Not Enough is not a good title.
The World Is Not Enough, I think, is a great title.
Wait, Die Another Day is better than this title.
Die Another Day is a cool title. It had that little poetry to it, you know? And then, like...
not like Die, My Darling, but...
even, what was it? What were the sequels? The World Is Not Enough, Die Another Day.
GoldenEye.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Come on, that's awesome. Under a Red Sky is a pretty boring Bond name. Eh. Just like Quantum of Solace was kind of sketchy.
It's tough to come up with a name. I mean, look what happened with Sorcerer.
But look, they even pulled, like Never Say Never Again, which isn't an official Bond movie.
Right.
That's still an awesome title, man. And it has nothing to do with fucking Bond. It's just, it
Old Man Bond.
There's so much, yeah. Well, hey, Old Man Sean Connery Bond is better than Old Man Roger Moore Bond.
Yeah, right.
So, eat it.
I know. In some alternate universe, George Lazenby would have not left after the first movie, and then he probably would have filled in
for
Roger
Moore. Well,
he would
have just become as irrelevant as any of the other ones, though.
Yeah, but it would have been good to see him do more. I mean, he's good. I still stand by Dalton as my choice, but...
Dalton is awesome. I wish Dalton would have gotten the chance to play the more, like, Daniel Craig style Bond, you know what I mean? Like
really
the real fucking badass Bond. I know he was kind of like the darkest Bond of all of them, but those movies were still pretty hokey.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
you saying Joe Don Baker's hokey? No, how dare you?
Look out for a young Benicio del Toro in one of the Dalton Bond movies.
In License to Kill, that's right. But so they got Javier Bardem. I'm sure
that's an awesome.
He's great. He really is.
And there's rumor that Ralph Fiennes. Is somewhere in the running for a part, and the title blows. But Sam Mendes is a good director.
Yeah, I don't know who's writing it, but it's good they're gonna get, because eventually they're, you know, Craig will move on. They're gonna have to deal with another Bond, and you know who knows who they're gonna get.
Yeah,
so, you have any ideas or? Would you want to see as Bond?
I as long as the dude's English and not Hugh Jackman, I think that...
That's a good point, actually, because some smartass were like, well, we should have an American Bond. And we were close to that. I think the studio wanted Clint Eastwood to actually play James Bond. He's like, I'm not doing that. This is...
Clint Eastwood?
At the time, back in the 70s.
Oh, back in the day. I was like...
Not old man Clint Eastwood, Grant.
I was like, how
get off my
how
lawn.
Is 70-something-year-old?
80-something-year-old.
Yeah.
Gonna break
older
his
than dirt.
Yeah, exactly. But no, they considered him in the 70s, in the early 70s, to do it. He's like, I'm not doing that. What are you, crazy?
He's already Dirty Harry.
Yeah. So, yeah, clearly they'll have to get a Brit. I mean, I have no idea, to be perfectly honest. I mean, they're not going to get, you know, Matt Smith to play James Bond. That'd be totally wrong.
Maybe they can get your boy David Tennant to play
Jesus
He'd
Christ.
He'd be like this fucking pussy Bond.
That'd be a really thin Bond, I got to admit. And
fuck.
Although it's, you know what's funny, speaking of British actors? I actually learned this because I'm kind of an idiot. Paddy Considine, not an Irishman, apparently. I had
who
no idea.
Who the fuck is that? I don't know who
he's
that is.
He's a British actor. He was in Hot Fuzz. He was one of the Andes, and
he's
in other stuff.
Oh, wait. Yeah, this is funny. This is the only thing I can name him in. He's been in a bunch of movies, but
yeah.
The one I know specifically because I was like, holy shit, was The Bourne Ultimatum.
Yes.
He's in that too. Yeah, he's the guy, the mustache. I know they both had mustaches, but he was the one.
He
is
the bigger, fuller mustache.
Yeah, and he's the guy who he said, you have a mustache. He's like, I know.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not what? He's not English?
No, he is English. I thought he was Irish.
Oh, why did you think he was
Paddy
Irish?
Paddy and me being...
Paddy, you know, stereotyping, pigeonholing son of a bitch.
Considine? I thought it was Irish, yeah. Goddammit. Yeah. And then it was Bobby Bear, Ian, who I, you know, from Belfast... correct me, he's like, he is? He's British? And I looked it up and I'm like, God damn it.
Oh, fucking
it's
hell.
Like, just because the guy's name is Paddy does not mean he's Irish. Well, now I know, yeah. Smart guy.
Well, that's good. Now you won't get your ass handed to you by Irish guys. And you got bad enough trying to not confuse the territory so you don't get your ass shanked by some Irishman who's pissed off because you're like, are you British? And then you're just going to get your ass fucked up.
Just because I'm going to go to England and say, where are my American pants at, my large novelty foam cowboy hat, does not mean...
Nice.
Just walk.
Where's my basket of donuts? Yeehaw!
I know. It'd be like the what people think in other countries think Americans are like. Howdy! Forget about it. Yeehaw! How is the baseball team going? Howdy there. You know, number one USA. Jesus Christ. It's always kind of... See, the sad thing is because this country is so big, you can't really nail down the stereotype.
Yeah.
So it's not like you could do that in, like, with, say, England. Because going back to that whole thing about the idea that, like, they couldn't find an American actors that were so manly they had to go to England.
Yeah.
That goes against the stereotype of British, you know, British guys.
Yeah.
That are known, like, supposedly being pussies.
Nancy boys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, so it's weird to go, you know, to go against that, and because the American, you know, gotcha. John Wayne, you
dude, there's some hardcore British guys though. Like,
oh yeah,
like
take your soccer. Your
average rugby player,
yeah,
is could one of them
we'll
could kick
our,
could kick both of,
us.
Of our asses simultaneously,
yeah,
with very little effort without breaking a sweat.
Oh yeah, not at all. Although, you know what's funny? Speaking of rugby, you know who's the toughest team out there? New Zealand of all places. I kid you not.
Really?
That's all.
Well, that
New
makes
Zealand's
sense though, because it's like it's a offshoot of Australia.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah,
I mean, like, meaning it was the it's also populated by harsh, relentless criminals.
Yes, exactly. You know, the guys from Flight
Godless,
of Concord.
Godless criminals.
Godless heathen criminals.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Vikings, practically.
Not necessarily Vikings. I would say.
No. I mean, like, in the spirit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wearing their horn helmets and all that.
I equate them with the Viking culture.
I always consider them to be like the fun loving, constantly drunk relatives of the British Empire, as opposed to, you know, the general heart, you know, kind of hard asses of Canada.
Do English guys hate Australian guys?
Not to
is
my
there
knowledge.
Like a weird thing going on there? I don't know anything
from
about
it. From what I had heard, it was like everyone...
Can somebody answer this? Call in now.
Yes.
1-800-HOCKIN.
That's 1-800 HOCKN Hocken. The phone lines are open. Or you could post at forums.braindeadradio.com.
But if you can, please call.
Yes, I know. Call in. What, we have a call right now?
Live.
I know. Somehow we do. But what I learned is because the United Kingdom is made up of various parts, that, like, everyone in the United Kingdom who is not from England hates England. Because, you know, it's some bull... That's the stereotype I had heard.
Yeah.
You
mean anyone in the British territory, or...
Like, everyone kind of looks down upon England, basically. They,
like,
don't really...
But you mean everyone around, every European country.
Yeah. What it is that, obviously, because in Europe, everyone fucked each other over because of the wars, but also because of the empire.
They all
and
know.
And long-simmering tensions. It's kind of funny that in the U.S., except for the South, you don't really have that, because, once again, we kicked their asses in the Civil War and showed them who's boss.
Eat that, the South.
And again, in
take
the '60s,
wipe our asses with your Confederate flag.
Exactly,
fucking dipshits.
Exactly.
Yeah, where's your racism now?
Exactly.
Huh?
And even in Canada, because you kind of have that divide because of the history of the French speaking part of Quebec versus the rest of Canada, which is English speaking. They got to put up with Quebec, and it's just all this other nonsense. And that's just because you learned about this in the Last Mohicans, that because there was the French Indian War where England fought it with France, and that's big. You know, if things had gone a different way, all of Canada would have been French. So think
Jesus
about that.
Christ.
We could have had the French above us, even though we technically do. And either way, we would have gotten internet comedy sensation John Lajoie.
Yeah.
And we would have had free access to poutine.
I was like, I don't think you said that right.
That's fries and gravy and something else entirely.
You mean pootie tang, is what they call it up there.
Yes, it's pootie tang. It's actually it's a black man talking jive. The whole thing is done by Louis C.K.
Poutine. Poutine, I think, is what you're talking about. Yeah,
something.
Gravy. There's three ingredients: gravy, fries, and something else.
Cheese curds.
And
your cheese curds apparently got to be fresh. They also have kind of thing called disco fries, which is like the same thing but with shredded cheese.
Oh,
they also
not call it Elvis. They don't cover it in glitter. That's not.
No, they also call it Elvis fries out in like New York and New Jersey.
Disco fries are also Elvis fries?
Yeah, same fucking thing. It's also kind of like the same place like in Connecticut. You can get what's called a white pizza, which is like no sauce pizza.
Yeah.
Isn't all
white pizza? I mean, isn't all pizza over there white pizza?
I don't know. It's just Connecticut for some reason.
It's not a multicultural place, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, actually. And I think that came about because some guy was allergic to tomatoes and he had to, like, think of something else. So he came up with that.
So what is it? I'm sorry. What is the substitute for the tomato?
Just white. I think it's just no sauce.
It's just mayonnaise? Is what you're saying?
Oh, God.
Just mayonnaise in place of sauce.
Shoot,
you're disgusting.
Me now. Oh, my God.
It's
ranch dressing. But yeah, so you have this. You have these divisions, because there's always been talking about, like, Scotland leaving, becoming their own independent country, because they consider themselves their own independent thing.
But so, they are not.
Yeah. Well, what it is that because they've been around a lot longer, you have more ingrained cultures as opposed to around here.
But they're
because
all
Because everyone is, unless you're Native American, you don't have any original roots in this
oh,
country.
No, not at all, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all foreigners.
Because we all came off from some other, you know, place, most likely from a farm due to some czar telling us to get the hell out.
Which is the irony behind all the nationalism that we have in the country.
Yeah.
And the
But it is interesting, because I was talking about this, is that you don't really have that, you know, how we all support the fact we're American. You know,
I wish people could see the little march you did, the little marching pantomime.
Yeah.
You said we're proud to be American.
Yes.
Did a little march.
Proud to be an American. Anyway, you don't really have that in England. It's kind of more reserved for the real racist, hardcore nationalists over there.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have that. You kind of move beyond that, and you don't have that in the U.S. Once again, because we don't have any real ties, and we didn't kind of fuck each other over thousands
of
years
ago. Well, there's tons of... I don't know if I'm missing.
I mean, there's been fucking over. Don't get me wrong, but it is not that deeply ingrained as it is, say, with your medieval history.
Well, you've got the South, who's constantly threatening to break off from the United States, even to this day.
I know.
They're constantly threatening that. Which, by the way, I don't think anybody would really have a big problem with. Like, I just get the fuck out.
What about
here.
Just telling Florida to fuck off?
Yeah,
I think we're
go.
Good with that.
Break it. Get the hell out of here.
Basically, do what Bugs Bunny should have done in that cartoon and just saw it off and just let it float away.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, frankly, most of the South doesn't even consider Florida to be part of the South. So what does that tell you?
It's filled with a bunch of Yanks, that's why.
Old people and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
So, but it's very interesting to come across something like that. So yeah, you got your drunk rowdiness over there. I mean, didn't I tell you that joke of like where some comedian was talking about you can never have an Australian be a Bond villain because all it consists of is like, when I came to the accent, it's like, James, I've got an alligator drunk and I filled it with knives. That's it.
Well, you could just drop Bond off in Australia, and there's like a 90% chance he won't survive
because
everything's deadly over
everything
there. Everything
will kill you too.
Yeah,
great beer though. But
yeah.
Even
the fucking platypus. I don't know if I think I might have said this before. That thing's fucking poisonous.
I know I do.
Yeah, it's got a nail on this back foot. It's got this raptor claw,
oh my
and
God.
Not only is it dangerous, like that thing could puncture an artery and kill you anyway. It's poisonous. It secretes poison.
Shit, I forgot the name of the crocodile hunter. Fuck, I forgot his name.
Steve Irwin?
That's it. It'll pull that, except, you know, like
it's
like
the only piece of trivia I've ever been able to
Could you believe
call
that man
upon.
Had a movie at one point?
Did he?
Yeah.
What was it called?
I fucking can't remember.
Probably Crocodile.
But he had that. And he actually had a full, you know, full...
Do you think Crocodile Dundee hates him?
I don't know, actually, because I've never actually seen
Because he really came in and on his turf.
All he did was just, you know, but what did Crocodile
He actually wrestled crocodiles. Crocodile Dundee was all talk.
Yeah, I know. And then the Crocodile...
Steve Irwin was getting in there.
Yeah. And unfortunately, see what should have happened was the Crocodile should have gotten his revenge if it was a goddamn stingray that got him.
It's bullshit, yeah.
But see, what's gonna happen is that his daughter will eventually take the mantle and eliminate every crocodile from the face of the earth. She will get her vengeance.
And the crocodiles have no practical application in the wild as far as I
understand. Other than making some really kind of tacky-looking shoes and bags.
Yeah.
You can't be, you know, really, really crocodile skin shoes. I mean, yeah, it doesn't look good.
What else will Corey Feldman wear?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
So, what were we talking about?
I don't know, but I think we were
talking about England.
Yeah, I think it all relates back to England. And,
yes. Just to cap that off, yes.
Okay. So I think for the Ed Hawken Show, I'm Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
Keep it classy. Cause I'm